Hey guys,
welcome to another edition of Wrestling with Death. I am your ghost host with the most, the Reaper Matt Conard, and my guest today is a wrestler, a fitness entrepreneur, a ironically not only the man that led me to my first training school, but the man who gave me my first bump.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I knew that I got in a ring with you, but I didn't know it was your first bump.
Right. We'll get to that. Huh. Oh, we'll get to that.
I know that story. It makes me look bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll get there. Don't worry about it. Yeah, that's enough. My guest today is Vance Desmond.
Hi.
Hey, man.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome.
I have to cool down from my last one because Khan, he's like, hey man, I'm good, how are you? Yeah, it's this and that. I didn't even ask you that. Oh, I know, yeah.
You already beat me up, so I'm like down now.
I get it. I hit you a little too hard and it's fine. I don't like diving too far back. I'm just going to start with your wrestling journey. Where does the wrestling journey begin with you?
NWA Tri-State, which Con Price is at a similar thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He said something similar.
I was at Hooters for a pay-per-view, and they had a flyer for a show whenever I was 17. And I went to the show, asked the promoter, I said, I'm going to do this, I'll do this. They said, well, we run a wrestling school here. Little I know, it wasn't really a wrestling school. It was just whoever could get to get in the ring to bump you so you could take your money.
Right.
But so I went to that. They asked for my ID. You're supposed to be 18 to do this. I was 17. I told them I was 18.
Yeah.
And I said I didn't bring my ID. So they said, we'll just bring it next time.
Yeah.
Well, next time I wasn't 18 yet, and no one asked me. So right. I was in. It was good. So I illegally got in there without, because there's no way my parents would sign off on anything like that. So.
Right. Well, who was the one that actually trained you?
Rocky Reynolds.
Rocky?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. Also, a guy named Magnum is no longer in the business.
CK?
No.
Con?
No.
See, a Time Lord?
The original Magnum.
Okay.
And then Tyson Smith, Vinny Viagra star.
Right.
Yeah, so he was the first guy to give me my first bump.
Right.
Yeah, so, and busted my mouth and my nose, and it was a little rough, yeah.
Well, here am I going to call you out later, and you had it way worse than I did with you.
See,
so
if I tell that story first,
I can't say shit. Yeah, well, I'll just get to it. It's already up. First time I saw you, and I said this to Con, was at a Mason-Dixon show in Pickens. You guys were working under this real low pavilion. It was Con and Cole against you and Zach. And my father and I cornered you after the show. It was like, hey, I really want to do this. How do you? And you like pointed me to the Tri-State. You're like, hey, you do this. So I went to Kaiser to have my tryout, and Arpin gave me the whole spiel, whatever. And I got in the ring, and obviously I'm never taken a bump before, so I'm flinching, I'm like doing all this. And at a certain point, I'm on the ground, you go to give me a knee drop, and I like flinch, and you just look at me like, I'm not gonna fucking hurt you. And I think in my head, your demeanor says otherwise.
Yeah.
You're being very aggressive. It's just, I'll ask this just of you. Do you think you have patience as a teacher? Were you having a bad day?
No, I have patience as a teacher, but I also test people to see how much you want it.
Okay.
So, that's kind of how it was done to me. Like, they beat the living crap out of me.
Right.
And then, I mean, like, Hogan's first time in the ring, they broke his leg. And then they
That's
said,
fair.
Yeah, if you come back, you come back.
That's fair.
So I don't go that far, but
right.
I like to rough people up because I want you to know what you're in for, that
right.
this isn't ballet,
right.
and you're going to get hurt.
Right.
So, and if I'm able to be mean to you and beat you up one time, and you're like, okay, it's not for me, then it wasn't for you,
right.
and you shouldn't be coming back. But
right.
no. Actually, I ran Tri-State school forever.
Right.
And I've actually been told by other wrestlers that I'm a better teacher than worker. I don't know if that's an insult or if it's a compliment, but whatever. Because I actually like teaching people. But
yeah.
Yeah.
No, now that I'm in the business, I get it.
Yeah.
I completely get
what
you're
understand.
Doing.
At the time, you're like, this guy's so mean. Like, why is he so mean?
I don't know any better.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, now I completely get it.
Yeah.
Colin was saying the same thing. He said when he broke in, you were kind of doing that at the time. Like, and he says you put you over the teacher big time.
Yeah.
So he concurs.
I did give a kid a concussion training one time.
But doing this kid, what?
Like, quad kicks.
Oh.
Yeah. Or the clothesline. I'm not sure what did it because he couldn't keep his chin tucked. He weighed 130 pounds, like 5'8".
Yeah.
I asked him to do 20 push-ups. He couldn't do it, if that tells you. And I had to sit him down and be like, it's an athletic business.
Right.
You got to, work out, at least try.
Right.
You know, you don't have to. But, yeah, so there's a kid who got way worse.
Obviously, I feel like a bitch now. I'm not going to bring it up ever again.
Yeah, but see, and you're an awesome worker. I'm taking credit for all your work.
Oh, man, you did. I'm okay.
No, Matt's an awesome worker. Don't let him lie to you.
That's a biased opinion. You also had a hand in training Zach, right?
Yeah. Most of Zach's training probably is me. 90% probably. We just traveled. We worked each other all the time.
So. Yeah, I think I've seen you guys work more than anybody I can think of.
Yeah, and one time in 5 days, we worked each other 4 times in 3 different states.
Damn.
Yeah, we wrestled a lot. Yeah. We even got to a point where I was like, I'm going to do all your stuff tonight. You can do all my stuff. So we just switched all our stuff.
I had something similar with him when I first broke in. Somehow we kind of just became friends, and we started jumping cars together and doing the match everywhere. At a certain point, you have to do things to keep it fresh.
Entertain yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though you're in a different state and they haven't seen what you can do, it's the same match to you. Like you've done it night after night. It's like what can we do to keep us from looking like we're going paint by numbers?
Yeah. And big surprise here, we do this because we like to do it, not for the money.
Right.
We got to be entertained. That's
right.
Why we do it. So.
Right. Did you? Were you in the fitness before you got into wrestling, or was wrestling the reason you got into fitness?
Wrestling's the reason I got into fitness, actually. Yeah, right. Like whenever I had that tryout I'm talking about, I weighed 160 pounds.
Really?
So, and I was 6'1". Right. So, yeah, that's way too small, and I was going to get killed. And I was like, I'm going to start, working out. I'd already started a little bit. I was like, I got my driver's license. My first driver's license was 140 pounds.
That's wow.
How little I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I got up, gained 20 pounds in that year of working out and stuff. So.
Right. I think I was about 175 that day you bumped me. Like I was. Beanpole thin. I mean, I'm still very thin.
Well, you're a lot bigger now.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I found out if you pick weights up and put them down.
Oh, and you should steal the Lance Storm gimmick. Best build the side of a positive drug test.
I don't know about best build, but
I mean, a lot of the other boys will be mad. Be like, what the hell are you saying about me? But yeah,
I was talking to Colin about this too. The Glenville show. Mm-hmm. You were on there. You were Jason Rumble.
Oh, yeah, against Jason.
I was in the crowd for that, too.
He beat me up for real.
Did he really?
Well, the NWA World Junior title he had.
Right.
I was supposed to win that night.
Oh.
Yeah, like the board had approved me to be the winner of it. Well, Jason gets there and goes, no. And Arpin wouldn't back me. And Jason's thing was, well, we'll bring the kid up to my Fed in Boston, and he'll lose it up there to me. And so instead of fighting, because Jason's scary, he's all jacked out of his mind, but he said, okay, yeah, that'll work. Whatever. Well, we get out there, Jason's still mad about the situation, so he is beating the crap out of me, and I just, try to do it back, but, I'm young, I don't know that much.
Right.
Get to the back, of course, and he's like, everything good? I was like, well, yeah, it was real good. Snug, I liked it. Yeah, perfect.
Right.
But, yeah, well, that match in Boston never happened because Jason ended up working out a deal to go to Japan to lose to someone else. So I got bypassed on that because Arpin didn't stand up for me.
Right.
We had this amazing plan. This is a good story. So Arpin told us to go there, win, lose, or draw, take the belt because it's ours. He gives a paper that says, NWA says, you can have this. You're not stealing. He said, have them take Khan and Cash, take your gear, take it out to the car, and when you leave, just leave straight from the ring, take the belt, win, lose, draw, go straight out, just leave.
Right.
So we had this whole plan. That's what we were going to do and never came to fruition because never even got the show booked. So.
Right.
But. Damn.
Politics.
See, even the sitting crowd, I couldn't tell anything. It was like you guys were just wrestling. Like, if he's beating the shit out of you, I couldn't tell the difference.
Oh, yeah, that slammed my face off the apron, which is, a super worked thing anyway, but he really slammed my face off the apron.
I have that DVD buried somewhere.
Oh, wow, I've never seen that.
I should go back and watch it just to watch. I want to see that match.
Watch his frog splash, man. Holy cow. He's put together, too. He's jacked old dude. He's short, but he's jacked. So.
Man, I'm super interested to go back and watch that now, just to see that.
I want to see it. Let me borrow it.
I will. The reason I even brought that up was we were talking about, how I look now, how I look then. Mm-hmm. I took a picture with Jarrett.
Oh, that's cool.
That night. Hold off. I just wanted to hold the belt.
Because
you see the picture, my dad's between Jarrett and I. I'm over here with the belt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, man, my arms are like this holding it. I look like an Ethiopian. Like, no lie, my shirt looks like a blanket.
How tall are you?
6'3".
Yeah.
Yeah. It's super hard for me to put on weight as it is. And back then, it was like my metabolism was way higher than it is now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I feel your pain.
Yeah, man.
I've been bulking for 15 years.
For 15
years. Yeah. It's a long, dirty bulk, yeah.
Yeah, it's an on-again, off-again process.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I hope you don't mind talking about this, but I was there at the show when they were talking about it. You had an incident in the ring, didn't you?
My heart stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Zach were a team at the time. And I went to play with body slam Jabari. Couldn't do it because I was too big. Sell in a big circle. He clotheslines me. And when he hit me, he hit me hard. I mean, nothing crazy. At least I don't remember nothing crazy.
Right.
But hit me in the chest, and hit me in between heartbeats or something. I have a thing called bradycardia where my heart rate's real low. Mm-hmm. Like my resting heart rate's 40.
Right.
So anyone has that window where you can get hit and your heart stopped. My window's just bigger.
Right.
So he hit me. You know, my heart stopped. I had a seizure. The seizure, they say, was probably my heart coming back.
Right.
And then we were thankfully next door to a fire department. They came over. They did the bag and CPR and all that stuff. And apparently I woke up and started fighting people. I don't remember any of this, and cussing. Everyone was tackling me. And they got me on a gurney and got me. And the first thing I remember is going under the rope and seeing Cole Cash there. And he said, calm down. Everything's okay. I said, I'm calm. What's going on?
Right.
Like, just confused, basically.
Right.
So,
was there a lot of recovery time for you after that?
No, I was out. I don't know, 8 weeks?
8 weeks.
I got a sign off by a doctor, which I don't know if he should have signed it off, but he signed me off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, because, I mean, the first week I was super weak.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like run down and tired all the time. But, you know, within a few weeks I was pretty much back to normal.
Right.
So.
Have you had any trouble with that since then?
Nope,
no,
not a bit.
A one-off?
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Yeah, it's been good ever since. I mean,
I don't know. Did that make you real, like, gun-shy to get back in?
No,
not at all.
No, I had before that, I had a bad bump. Went to a run outside the ring, and they lost grip of me, and I landed on my head and split my head up in here and got paralyzed temporarily with a stinger.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and bleeding everywhere and all that kind of stuff knocked me out. And, so that was, you know, scary. A lot of people were like, I remember, like, the girl I was dating, I was in high school still when that happened.
Right.
Her mom came and got me, and she's like, if you keep doing this, you're not going to be able to walk. And I said, if I can't do this, I don't care if I do walk. So, like, I've never, you know, I know what the risks are.
Right.
And
right.
That's why I beat up kids. There we go, full circle.
That's why.
They need to know that, you know, this can be life and death.
No, it's true, man. It's true. More people should be like that.
Yeah.
Now that I'm a better 6 years in, I agree with you. Kids.
6 years in. My first match, I started training in 2001. My first was 2002.
So you trained for a year?
Yeah, well, it was like 6 months.
Okay. So
it was October, September.
Right.
And then I had my first match was in February.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
5 months.
Yeah. That was more training than I had.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got trained by Brian Logan.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, whenever Brian came out with a statement about when I got my heart stopped. Did you hear about this?
No.
Yeah, Brian's whole thing was that I take so many mini-thins, which, first of all, were banned way before.
Right.
That Fedra pills did keep me so lean, and that's why I had a heart attack in the ring.
Oh.
Which it wasn't even a heart attack, because a lot of people still called it a heart attack.
Right, right.
But, yeah, that's what he came out with. I was like, I'm skinny. Why would I take that? Even if they did exist anymore, which they were banned years before.
Right, right.
Because Brian being Brian.
Right. Yeah, Brian... I mean, Brian was fine with me.
Yeah, and I really actually had no problem with him in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in a much better place now because, like,
oh, yeah.
I've seen him since. But
I haven't seen him in forever.
He lives in Tennessee now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Still wrestling?
No. Not anymore.
Yeah.
No, I believe. Yeah, he trained me for 3 months, and then something happened. He had to bail. And then I reached out to Mountain State.
Oh, yeah.
To continue my training, and instead of doing that...
They started using
you? They put me in right away.
Yeah.
My first match was a four-way... elimination match for their junior heavyweight title.
Oh, but you're excited.
I didn't even have gear yet.
Wow.
I had my boots. I went out in shorts and knee pads.
Wow. Brian Logan almost killed a guy for that. Did you hear about Khan?
No.
Khan went out in boots. Yeah, that's the story you should got. Brian Logan, he goes, Khan was there in shorts and boots and stuff. And
right.
Brian Logan went off on him.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Called him unprofessional and, like, you're fired. He actually says, Khan does a better impression. He goes, you're fired. Don't come back. Like, because Khan wore the... shorts and all that, yeah. And then, were you down there when they had the little TV studio, the little building you rented out where you walked right out and the ring was right outside the door there?
No.
Okay, yeah, it's probably before your time.
Yeah, it was for sure.
So.
Okay, well, it's about that time. We're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be right back with Vance Desmond.
So, guys, I've made a big, big life decision. From here on out, I'm not spending any money on food or groceries that does not come from ProWrestlingTees.com/Matt Connard. Yes, I have a fiance to feed. Yes, I have three cats that depend on me, but they stand with me on this. Please don't contact my fiance and ask her about this. She has no idea I'm doing this. But they stand right beside me on this. They believe in me and they think I can provide by doing this. So go to prowrestlingtees.com/MattConard and make sure my family can eat this week or next week or the week after that. You know, or, you know, be the reason my three kitty cats starve or the reason my fiance leaves me. That's on you, not on me. That's on you now. So go to prowrestlingtees.com/MattConard and help us eat, please.
And we're back with Vance Desmond. Now, let's talk about when you decided to get into the fitness nutrition business. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is when, after your wrestling career has kind of like winded down a little bit, you're not a road warrior anymore.
No,
you're not going out there every weekend.
Like an Undertaker schedule or Triple H schedule, that's what I do, yeah.
Right, it was special appearances. Was opening a gym just because it's what you know? Is that what really...
I worked for GNC for a long time, too. Managed a store. And my whole plan from, the time I was, wanted to be a wrestler was to... Well, when I started working out, really, was to wrestle as long as I could.
Right.
You know, WWE, blah, 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 all that stuff, and then open, a big mega gym when I couldn't wrestle anymore.
Right.
That's a very limited time frame you got.
Right.
And I just did it, but on a smaller scale. Smaller gym, smaller wrestling career, but, yeah. So it's kind of always my plan, really.
Right,
so.
Right. How... I consider what we're doing now as a potential side business for me.
Absolutely.
How hard is it to open an actual business? What was the process of being an adult?
So the risk, here's what I did. I wasn't very responsible about it. And here I have a saying, and I don't know if I got it from somewhere or if I just came up with it. I had to have got it somewhere. But my whole thing is if you're going to gamble, always gamble on yourself.
Right.
So I took all my money out of my 401k at work and went, okay, I'm going to do this. And I bought a bunch of equipment.
Right.
And rented the cheapest building I could find. And I had enough money to last me a year's worth of rent. And if it didn't work out, I just have a really expensive gym membership.
Right.
But 6 weeks in, I started making enough to pay the bills.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was, okay, this works.
Well, the only gym really in your area, there's not much to choose from.
No, there's a Planet Fitness, and the Y is really good, but the hours are very limited.
Right.
So mine has more of a YMCA style of equipment, all the hammer strength stuff, but then it has 24 hours.
Right.
So,
you got the best of both. Passcodes and stuff, right?
Yeah, you just touch your key. Yeah, touch your key to the door, pops
open.
So, yeah.
How has it been, obviously you said you started to make profit pretty quick. How has it been, have you been at steady
Well, right now,
since?
Actually, my building is too small for the amount of members I have.
Oh.
Yeah, so I need a bigger building, because between 4 and 8 on weekdays, it's hard to even park. People park down the road and have to walk up.
Right.
Yeah, so it's super packed. So it's going really good. Until I get a bigger building, I'm kind of limited.
Right.
I actually had to raise the price of the gym so people would quit joining.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm I can't really have as many more members. But if they're going to pay me more, I will let them.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, that's a problem you want to have.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at a bigger building because I'm kind of limited, you know.
Right.
I make a profit, and it gives me a base for the nutrition company to sell people to. So,
right.
Yeah.
What was the driving force for you to get into the nutrition side of things?
Well, my gym was starting to top out, like I'm saying, until I had a bigger building. I'm okay, I need to do something fitness oriented and something I know. And I have I'm certified through nutrition at the University of Florida, and I have personal trainer's license and all that kind of stuff. And I've known nutrition forever because GNC is what I did.
Right.
So that's what I did. I knew how to make formulas. I knew what needed to be what, and contact some other people, manufacturers and stuff like that. That's kind of how it rolled off. You know, it has more room for growth, basically.
Right.
I'm not limited by my building size. So.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you even go about doing that? Because I buy supplements. Mm-hmm. You know, as a person who works out and trains, I take supplements. But when you ask me to take it and read the ingredients, at a certain point, I don't know how to pronounce the words.
Right, right.
So how do you go about even constructing a supplement and knowing what the... you worked in GNC, obviously, but when you actually get down to constructing one and putting one together, what's that process?
Here's what I did. On our pre-workout, which is our very first one, I took things that had been studied forever.
Right.
Nothing that was new and maybe works. I took things that had been, hundreds and hundreds of studies, and that's what I did with it.
Right.
So I only picked those things and, had them make test formulas, send it to me, and just tried it.
Yeah.
And see which ones give me better pump and, better energy.
Right.
And plus, you talk about all those weird ingredients. Every ingredient in GNC on every single product, I can tell you what it is.
Really?
Every single one. Just because I was there for so long,
right.
I just knew them all.
Right.
And there's still stuff I learn, And I sit, before I pick an ingredient for anything, I sit and read every study I can find on it.
Yeah.
So that's
just to see what exactly it does.
What exactly it does with other people. And then I take it myself and a few other people. I have try it and see what they think, and right. then go from there.
Right. So. I haven't got to try all of your stuff yet. I tried your pre-workout.
You got to try my post-workout. It tastes amazing.
Really?
Yeah. I think the pre-workout just tastes. It's okay. It tastes like every other pre-workout. Nothing special. But
yeah.
Jake, the referee, mm-hmm. Clemens, he said that my post-workout's the best tasting supplement he's ever tasted.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I definitely.
I'll hook you up.
Yeah, I want to try it out, man.
Yeah.
I tried your pre. I'm not big on pre's because I had a bad experience with one once, and I just kind of left alone. Man.
Yeah.
Yours, like, it didn't get me to the point where I was, like.
Yeah, and that's on purpose.
Out of control, but yeah. It got me going. Like.
And I made it fucking. So if you want out of control, some people want that, you can do 2 scoops of it. There's right. nothing in there you can't do 2 scoops
right.
of.
Right.
But, like, I only do 1 1/4. That's right. all. I did 2 to try it out, and it was too much for me. So
right.
1 1/4 is about perfect. I didn't want something that's going to be crazy amount of stimulants so people, you know, can have, you know, can still take it. You don't want to be all
right,
jacked
right.
up.
You've got the pre, you've got the post, you've got your own protein supplement
yeah.
now, and you got a fat burner.
Right. right.
Yeah. Is there anything else you're working on?
We're going to do stimulant-free pre-workout mm-hmm. for something you don't like, you had a bad experience. A lot yeah. of people do that, and a lot of people work out late at night, don't want stimulants at all.
Right.
So we're going to do something that's just pump, just endurance, and no stimulants whatsoever.
Right.
And that's probably going to be our next thing. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I'm not really sure, we might do the opposite way and do an extreme pre-workout
right.
for all those people who want a ton
right.
of stuff. So
that
give some options.
That would seem like it'd be not a hard balance, but an interesting tug of war of people's
right.
people's tolerance for caffeine.
Right. I shot the middle ground first. Now I'm going to go both sides.
Right. Basically. Right. So. Cover all your bases.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean, with it seemed, at least as of late, I've seen you a little more often.
Yeah.
Now with your businesses, do you feel like you have more of, not more necessarily free time because you work your ass off?
Right. I also work like a shift work job. That's
really.
I work. Yeah. This listen to my schedule real quick.
Okay.
Four. These are all 12-hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
4 day shifts. Three
right.
off. Start over. 4 night shifts.
Right.
3 off. 3 days. 1 off. 3 nights. Back to nights again. 3 off. Back to days for 4, and then week off and repeat.
Damn.
Plus, you know, running the gym and all that stuff too.
Yeah.
And a 3-year-old.
And you're, yeah,
yeah.
Not to mention you have a child.
Yeah.
And you're traveling. I see you traveling all the time to like promote your brand and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever sleep?
I try not to. Like, I actually made a pact with myself here a while back. I've broken it a couple times, but is not to sleep any more than 6 hours because that's wasting my time.
Right.
So if I cut that out, I can fit more stuff in. So,
right.
I sleep a lot less than that. We did that big tour, and I was up for 46 hours.
Really?
Yeah, we did all those different gyms and stuff. And
right.
Yeah, so 46 hours. But that's the most successful we've ever been because still, everyone's always worried about, like, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff.
Right.
That's not where you sell stuff. You sell stuff hand-to-hand,
right.
talking to people, shaking hands, explaining stuff.
Right.
That's still the best way to do business by far.
Right,
so.
Right. I envy... your work ethic.
It's just I'm just dumb.
No, because like my body reacts differently to like lack of sleep. I was working a couple jobs for a while, and by the end of it, I had like a nervous breakdown.
Right.
Like I was down for a while, and yeah, I just going back to sleeping 8 hours a night and stuff. But there's so much I have to do during the day.
Oh yeah.
Like I have evening shifts now, and I have to get up, go to the gym, cook my food, like. It's like no matter how little I sleep, there's not enough time in the day to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
So I completely get you're like, I'm not sleeping.
Trying to multitask.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah.
How are you feeling? Like, do you, after being away for a certain amount of time, when you get back to me, does it ever feel like you missed a step or your body reacts differently to it?
That being out there and actually working, it doesn't bother me at all. I feel, okay, yeah, I can still do this, no problem. But afterwards, the recoup is way worse than it used to be. Like, I could wrestle, you know, when we were down, me and Jay were down OVW, we were doing OVW training and DCWs and then working weekends and all that kind of stuff, and I'd wrestle 4 times a week, no problem. But now there's no way. Like, I don't know if it's I don't have the reps or
right.
if it's just I'm getting older
right.
or a little bit of both. But,
right.
yeah, there's no way. So, feel it more, but
I mean, you've been in this, you've worked in this area for a long,
oh, yeah.
long time. Aside from, is there really anybody left that you want to work with? Like, I mean, you've scratched me off your list.
Yeah,
so.
Been the guys I like to work with around this area. Like, Of course, Zach, I've worked a million times.
Right.
You, Mathis, starting stuff with Bruce Gray. I just worked him in Triple Threat. I'm going to work him a couple singles coming up.
Right.
That'll be good.
All right.
He was a referee whenever I got into business.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he was like
so
one of the
weird.
First refs. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was always a great ref, too. He's like one of the best refs I knew, you know. So it makes sense that, you know, he's doing that now. I'm going to work Aaron Williams coming up. I've never got to work him.
That'll be really good.
Yeah,
Aaron's great.
Fun. Yeah. Always liked Aaron, always knew him for a long time, but never really got to work.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, that's like working guys that can go and.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Is that a.
That's not really. I mean, of course, I work Cash a million times and we have fun. So.
Right. I mean, you were just those guys back in the day, so.
Yeah, but I don't know if I can work Cash anymore because he's brutal. I mean, he beats the. Can I say shit?
Yeah.
Or he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
He beats the shit out of me because.
Right.
I mean, we're buddies, and that's what happens when you work buddies. You hit harder because you're like, I know he's not going to be too mad about it.
Right.
You know, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be. Is it just the passion that keeps you coming back now?
Yeah, and also I look at it as like a business opportunity because it spreads my brand. So like the show tonight, you know, of course I got my supplements up there selling them too.
Right.
Because, and it's a way like to push all that stuff. And then like RCW, I feel is like Tri-State was my home, but RCW is where I got. You know, that's where I'm most comfortable. Like, and so I work there because I like the guys and I like working. And you know, I work Mathis there and Bruce and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But like a lot of places, I'm working up in Erie at Rampage.
Right.
Coming up.
Yeah.
PWR and I against Zach and Omega, and that's why I'm working it.
Right.
Yeah, because against Zach and Omega, two guys I like. But I'm also using this opportunity to sell my brand.
Right.
So I go up there and do that kind of stuff too. So.
Right.
Yeah. Normally, I wouldn't have taken that booking, maybe, if it was against them, but also it was a good business potential. So.
Yeah, no, you've got covering two bases.
Multitask.
Yeah, multitasking.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Back to that multitasking. All right. You want to stick around for a couple minutes, play a game?
Sure.
Cool. All right, we'll take one more break, and we'll be back.
Is it spin the bottle? Because you fooled me so many times on this.
It's find the egg roll.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back with Vance Desmond.
Guys, you can follow me on Twitter at ReaperMatC, and you can follow the podcast at Wrestling Death. Make sure, if you're listening on iTunes, to rate, review, and subscribe. It's really important as far as notoriety for the podcast if you do that. So please take a second and do it. You can find my guest Vance Desmond's nutritional supplements over at bentbarbellnutrition.com. I highly recommend you go check those out. And you can find his gym, Bent Barbell, over on Facebook and all the likes. Social media, it's easy to search things out. All right, thanks, guys. And back to the interview.
And we're back with Vance Desmond. And like usual, we're going to wrap up with a game. So let's play.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right, this game is called, let me find the name.
It's called Let Me Find the Name.
It's called Let Me Find the Name. This game is called Trivia Takedown.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you three different questions, and I'll give you multiple choice, and you tell me which one you think it is.
All right.
All right, let's go to the first one. On May 6, 2002, who was the first match of the WWE era? So this is right the first show that they switched from WWF to WWE.
Okay.
Was it Trish Stratus and Jazz? Was it Bubba Ray Dudley and Spike against RVD and Jeff Hardy? Or was it Virgil versus Mantar?
Well, it's not the Virgil one. I say it's probably RVD. All those guys were in the company by that time. I'm going to go with the tag match.
That is incorrect.
Oh, was it Trish and Jazz?
It was Trish and Jazz for the Women's Championship in a no disqualification match.
Very first ever. Interesting.
Very first ever in WWE. Bubba Ray and all those guys were involved in run-ins.
Oh.
But.
I started wrestling 2 months before that.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that your start?
Yeah. 2002, you said, right? May 6, 2002?
Yeah.
February 2002 so was when I started. So.
Oh.
A few months before, yeah.
Well, look at that tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
Another multitask.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to the second one. Lock my phone here. The very first Rumble was held in 1988. Who was the first ever participant to enter the Royal Rumble?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me who won, and I think I remember that, but I don't.
Was it A, Jim Duggan? Was it B, Hulk Hogan? Was it C, Rick Rude? Or was it D, Bret Hart?
I got Bret Hart.
Bret Hart?
Yep.
It's correct. Right. It's Bret Hart.
I knew Duggan won it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Got to get this one right to win the game.
Oh, no. The game. I get Triple H if I win. He's my favorite.
Yep. Oh. I was going to say, you get real over there. That's not disturbing at all. October 5th, 1991, in a televised show from Spain.
Jesus.
Who gave The Undertaker his first loss in the WWF? Was it A, Hulk Hogan? Was it B, The Ultimate Warrior? Was it C, Brutus the Barber Beefcake? Or was it D, Tito Santana?
Yeah, it's probably not the obvious. It was non-televised or televised, did you say?
It was a televised show from Spain.
Let's get something weird and go Beefcake.
Did you find an answer?
Yeah, Beefcake. Probably Hogan. But...
I'm sorry, it's Tito Santana.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right?
I knew he beat Hogan. Taker beat Hogan. But...
Right.
I thought it was one of the ones I wouldn't guess, Tito or Beefcake.
But... Right. No, it was Tito Santana.
Huh, wow.
Yeah. They were in Spain.
Hey, are we going to plug ASW and say Tito Santana will be there coming up? Is that the tie-in?
I mean, we could, but I don't like to make my episodes too timely because I don't know what order I'm going to release them in, really. So you can plug it.
But it could already happen.
It could already happen by the time this comes out. Oh. So leave it up to you. Yeah, man. Sorry you lost.
Well, that sounds right. Hey, just a reminder, who won tonight?
I don't remember.
I did.
I did, technically.
Oh, you won the first
one. I won the first one.
Yeah.
So
that's what matters.
Good for me. All right, man. Before we get out here, you want to plug your stuff and plug your brand and get all that out?
If you're in the Parkersburg, West Virginia area, you can come to my gym, Bent Barbell Club.
Right.
I say most listeners probably are not. But also check out bentbarbellnutrition.com.
Right.
And at our Facebook. We got, of course, that YouTubes, all that kind of stuff. But, Bent Barbell Nutrition.
Right.
So we have Instagram and... I don't even run the Instagram, so it's weird.
You don't even run social media?
I run the Facebook, that's it.
Okay.
I'm old, I understand Facebook, I don't understand Instagram. So,
but. I get it. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you sitting down and talking.
Well, thanks, it's fun.
Yeah, man. I'm glad I finally got to do this. So, for Vance Desmond, I'm Matt Connard. Stay cool, cool.
Me and Cash went down there and drove. It's like 2 hours for us. Went down there and he gave us our paydays and envelopes or whatever.
Right.
And they always have receipts in there for how much you got paid.
Right.
Open it up, $5. Receipt for $5. Cash opened his, just a receipt for $5. No actual $5. Cash like, I can't go inside. I didn't get it. I got a receipt.
Right.
Receipt says I did. So it's ridiculous.